time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
And thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio, here at Blog Talk Radio. Eliezer Ben Joseph, and you can ask any question. I'll be glad to answer. There was a question you said from the Facebook page, Don, correct?
Yes,
and
yes.
What was that question?
Calvin wants to know, how about pine nuts? Are they a healthy nut?
Oh, that's a good question. Pine nuts are very healthy. They're actually very high in omega-6, but that's the proper omega-6. There's omega-3, 6, 7, 9. Those are the essential fatty acids that we need. Now, the problem is most people eat a lot of omega-6 and very few omega-3s. We want a nice maybe between 5, 1-1, 2-1, 3-1, up to 4, let's say 4-1 omega-6 to omega-3. The problem with right now the American diet is about 30-1, 30 omega-6 to 1 omega-3, so the entire balance is off. And omega-6 derivatives, those are types of omega-6 that are not healthy and they're inflammatory, so you have to be careful. As an example, when you roast all the seeds and nuts, it can change those oils, and then they don't become as healthy. So, but fat is very healthy, and the pine nuts, raw pine nuts, are really a wonderful nut to eat, along with, like I say, all the tree nuts, walnuts, and pecans, and almonds, and, okay, and here we are back again. I almost lost the computer again, so I want to make sure. Anyway, the pine nuts are one of the beneficial nuts. I have an article here in front of me that actually talks about 14 different foods that have very healthy fats that you want to eat all the time. And the article is from magazine Business Insider, and even businesses are talking about health now. This is a writer from the magazine Business Insider, and it says, eating fat won't make you fat when you do it right. And again, the government does not recognize fat as being healthy. They want you to be low fat, and we now know that's not healthy. You want high fat, healthy fats in your diet because it controls hormone production. Healthy fats control the cell membrane around, the membrane that's around every cell in your body. And you have to have the omega-3 fats that are in there. We don't want necessarily the omega-6. And some of the omega-6 goes inside the cells. Same thing, omega-3s. So it also helps with hormone production. And your brain, is made up mostly of fat. So we want the healthy fats. And it says, fat in food has gotten an unfair reputation as belly bulging, or the demon that can cause your diet to make you gain weight. But the truth is, we need fat in our diets every day to survive. And the proper amount of the right kind of fats that can fuel your body, help feed your brain. And there's numerous studies now that have shown that people who eat more fat don't get more fat. What they do is they feel better, like coconut oil. There was a study back, one of the best studies on coconut oil. It was during the 30s and 40s. And farmers, they wanted, that's when the saturated fats were being discovered in the 40s, and doctors were telling people, oh, don't eat saturated fats, be careful. And so the farmers, they said, hey, we want our cows to get fatter. Because, again, when you raise cattle, you get paid by the pound, not how healthy necessarily the cows are. So they said, what can we do to make our cows fatter? And they said, well, feed them the saturated fats of coconut oil. So that'll really make them fat. So they started adding huge amounts of coconut oil to the foods of the cows. And what was happening over a period of time, the cows were getting leaner and leaner and leaner, and they were getting healthier and healthier, and the farmers were losing money because they were not getting fat. So they went back to the doctors and said, hey, what are you doing? You know, we're giving them this coconut oil. You said it would make them fat. And they said, okay, well, here's what you'll do. You can feed the cows the same diet that we feed animals to give them heart disease. And so that'll raise the make them fat, but, you know, they'll get heart disease. So what you do is take away the fat and feed them things like soybeans and corn. And that has the omega-6 fats in it. And that'll give them heart disease, but it'll make them fat. So lo and behold, they started feeding them simple carbohydrates, and they started feeding them corn and soybeans and pellets, and they made those into, you know, protein powders, and they fed the cows, and the cows got sick. And, you know, now you hear, oh, man, it used to be where they would advertise, our beef is corn-fed, and you used to think that was really something super. Oh, my gosh, the cows were corn-fed. And so that was an advertising ploy. Now they don't do that anymore. And I know my father was a butcher, so I know all about that. And nowadays, what you want is grass-fed cows. And because the fat in the grass is omega-3, and the fat in soybeans and corn is omega-6. Now, what would happen? Does a wild cow, you know, or a deer or a wild horse, what do? They go into a cornfield and they eat the corn? Is that what they do? Or do all of those animals, they eat grass, and that's what they're supposed to eat, grass. And that omega-3. So you have to be careful when you buy the grass-fed beef. You don't want the one where the last 6 weeks of their life they're in feed pens and feed lots where they're fed the corn and the starch and the soybeans. So you want 100% grass-fed beef. So we need that to incorporate fat into our diets. One, it helps us to make us stay full and feel good. You know, you feel. When you're missing fat, you're always hungry. You're always hungry. And so there was a big study in 2016, and they followed 125,000 men and women for more than 30 years. And they found that those who ate more healthy fats and less carbs were less likely to die from all causes. Now, hear that. Those that ate the healthy fats, and that's a huge study, 30 years, over 126,000 people. And those that ate the healthy fats from walnuts and almonds and pecans and avocados and coconut and pine nuts and just the healthy and olives and olive oil and flaxseed and chia seeds, they were less likely to die from all causes. And we need these fats because it provides essential fatty acids, and that we cannot produce these fatty acids. So here are a bunch of foods. There's 14 foods that really can give you the best fats. And number one is whole eggs. But the eggs have to, on the carton, it has to say high in omega-3. And I don't care if the carton says yard fresh, organic, cage free. What I want the carton to say is high in omega-3. And whole eggs are great fatty addition to your diet because of the yolk, that healthy cholesterol. That's a term, healthy cholesterol. Dietary cholesterol is the cholesterol you eat, and otherwise your liver will produce cholesterol if you don't eat enough of it. So raw butter and grass-fed cows that produce the butter. We use, as an example, only Kerrygold butter. But in fact, omega-3 eggs can help regulate how much cholesterol is absorbed in the body because of their concentration of the phospholipids, a special kind of fats that can help control inflammation. Eggs also are very high in lutein and zeaxanthin, which keep our eyes very healthy, and astaxanthin. Plus, eggs are a real good protein source and very, very healthy. And there's ways to keep your eggs very healthy. One of the things you can do, let's say you hard boil a whole dozen eggs and you want it to keep for 6 months, you can do that. What you do is you put the eggs, after they're hard boiled, immediately put them in ice water. that'll just cause it to shrink so that when you want to peel them, it'll be easy to peel. And then what you do is you take some coconut oil, rub it in your hands, and then rub the egg with that coconut oil and put it back in the carton. And you do that for each of the 12 eggs in the carton, and you put that coconut oil around the egg. Then you put it back in the refrigerator, and the egg will seal and get the coconut oil hardens, but it stops the air from getting into the egg, and it's the air that causes the egg to not be healthy. And you can always tell a raw egg if it's an older raw egg or a fresh raw egg. And what you do is you put that raw egg in water. Now, if the egg sinks in the water, it's a fresh egg and it's not very old. But the older the egg gets, the more air it absorbs. So now the egg starts to float in the water. So the faster it floats and the higher up it floats on the in the water, the older that egg is. So you want to check that egg. Another good source of healthy fats is oatmeal. It's also, you want steel cut oatmeal, and it also gives you high fiber. And another one is spirulina. And spirulina is a blue-green algae that people have been eating for centuries. And Russia has done a major studies on this algae because it helps to lower radiation from people that have been exposed to radiation. And again, also the healthy fats from seeds, especially chia seeds and flax seed and sesame seeds, and then pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds. You know, seeds aren't just good for birds. They're really good because they can give you omega-3 and omega-6 fats. And so you can also, chia seed and flax seeds ground up real fine and put it in your smoothies. And then there's coconut oil. That's been used for hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years, especially in Malaysia and the Philippines and Japan and China. They use a lot of that. And so coconut oil can really make you feel full. I tell people, you want to lose weight, you take coconut oil, good raw organic coconut oil, mix it with some true cinnamon powder, enough to taste, and stir that up. Maybe you melt it first in hot water, you know, let the hot water be on the container. And once the coconut oil is 77 degrees or warmer, it becomes liquid. So you mix the cinnamon in with it and then put it in that pot again and let the cold water go on the container. Then it hardens, but that cinnamon becomes part of the coconut oil. And for those of you that are really overweight, you can take a good tablespoon of that coconut oil every 2 to 3 hours every day, and you will lose weight, just like the cows did back in the 40s. So coconut oil. And then again, tree nuts like walnuts and pecans and almonds are very, very good. Then soybean edamame. Yeah. Those are a very healthy fat. It's also a healthy way to eat the soybean, and that's an immature soybean or edamame. Mm-hmm. Tofu and tempeh, also healthy, and of course olives. Olives are one of the best healthy fats on the market. Green olives, black olives. You want to eat olives every single day, and they're just a super healthy fat. And then full-fat dairy products, if it comes from cows that only eat grass and that they're raw. So the cottage cheese and regular cheeses and the butter from, that's why we use Kerrygold, because it's cows from Ireland and they're only by law allowed to eat grass. Then you have things like fatty fish, where salmons and sardines and mackerel and herring, those are very, very healthy fats. You got to be careful on some of the tuna and swordfish because it's high in mercury. But the other fish are high in omega-3 and some omega-6. Then there's an old standby. We used to have Wheat germ is an example, and wheat germ was something that was a health food way back. Adele Davis talked about wheat germ. You just have to keep it in the freezer so it doesn't spoil the fats. And then, of course, the last but not least, they list avocado. And avocado is being listed as one of the healthiest fats in the world, healthiest foods in the world. And there's nothing like guacamole. I love that stuff. And who doesn't like fresh guacamole? Especially, you can make it, especially with some hot sauce a little bit, and chopped chives and chopped red sweet onions, very small. Chop them very, very fine. And maybe even a jalapeno if you like that hot. And you'll get a great guacamole. So this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Natural Solutions Radio featuring Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph with over 38 years of practical alternative health experience in traditional naturopathy. Call in with your questions to better your health for a happier life. And now we present to you live on the web, Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph.
And we're back.
Hey, Dr. Ben-Joseph, it's Mark.
Hey, Mark, how are you? Nice to talk to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. On the magnet subject, do you think magnets, using magnet therapy could help on like that nanoparticles thing, and also like with if you use the magnets for like treatments of like infections or cancer, you know, or
meaning how to use diseases. Yeah, how to use magnets. That's a good question. Here's what magnets do. Magnets, wherever you put a magnet on the skin, it increases the velocity of the blood. So when you put, as an example, those little spot magnets on your wrist, let's say you put them on your, and I'll show on my Facebook page, you can here, whoop, wait, let me see that. You can see, and it's going to be right here and here. You put the magnets on your ulnar and radial pulse. And what happens is your blood goes through your body every, let's say, eight to eight and a half minutes. It makes a complete circuit. And when the blood passes those magnets, it polarizes the iron on there, and it actually makes helps the red blood cells uptake more oxygen. And it increases the velocity of the blood. So in the left hand, that's blood goes right back up and into your heart. And so you increase that velocity. Wearing a magnet around the neck, it increases the velocity and actually helps to break down the plaque deposits in the carotid arteries. Magnets have been used in the feet or spot magnets around the body because it can help with neuropathy. That was a question that we had earlier, and I forgot to even mention magnet use for neuropathy. So magnets have been used a number of times for neuropathy, and it's very, very good. So magnets, I like them. I wear them, except on the radio day, because magnets and microphones don't go together. When you're working with electronic equipment, don't wear your magnets. So, but after that, I wear magnets in my shoes every single day. Because I've had numerous accidents when I was young. I had accidents skiing, and I hurt my back and pelvis, and boy, I had severe pain all just for years and years. And magnets in my shoes really helped with the circulation, helped keep my feet warm, and brought circulation down to my feet. I tell people with poor circulation, you can get those insole magnets. Put them in a pair of socks and wear them at night when you go to sleep, and your feet will stay nice and toasty and warm. So very good. So magnets can really help, Mark. And magnets can help just generally with inflammation wherever you put the magnet. If you have a sore neck, for sore shoulders, I'd wear those magnet necklace. And again, it can help the feet, especially if people have pedal edema, where you get that fluid building up in the feet where you can press your thumb in and leave a mark, a pitting edema, they call that. And so you wear those magnets, and it helps reduce that. So I like magnets. And we use Serenity Magnets. We think they're the best company on the market. We've had them since our store is open. open. It's the only brand we carry. Other companies have asked us to carry them and saying they're much, much cheaper than what we have. But we don't buy items for price. We buy our items, what we carry in the store, for how good they are. And we think Serenity 2000 is very good. That's why we carry, as an example, Nature Sunshine Herbs. We think they're the best. And doTERRA Essential Oils. We think they're the best. And so we only carry what we consider the Rolls Royce. So that was good on magnets. And did that help, Mark?
Yes. And you put the side that has the little spot on it.
Oh, yes. Very important. Thank you for mentioning that. You'll see on the spot magnets, there's a south pole and a north pole. And here in the northern hemisphere, you always put the magnet with the north pole touching the skin. And that will usually show, because there'll be a little nick or a spot or an indentation or even a little N on one side or an S on the other side of the magnets, so that you'll know. But most of their spot magnets have a little dot or a little, almost like a little, where you take a hard pen and hammer a little tip into it in the nail, so you see this little dot. Yeah, and that's the north pole, and that's always north pole side touches the skin. North pole touches the skin, and then you get the beneficial effects of that. Great call, Mark. Nice to hear you.
Is that because of the northern hemisphere?
Right, northern hemisphere.
Reverse
in the southern hemisphere. Absolutely. People don't know that. And so, yes, magnets, ideally, it has to do with the hemisphere. So other than if someone's one of those flat earthers where they still believe the earth is flat, you know, then it's kind of hard to talk with them. But when you understand that the earth is round, then there's the northern hemisphere and southern hemisphere, and you want to switch the magnets. It's like when you flush the toilet, when you're in the northern hemisphere, the flush goes down in a spiral one direction, and when you're in the southern hemisphere, it spirals in the other direction. You know, I just think of that.
Right.
Who studied that to figure out? Let me look at toilets and see how they flush. Wouldn't you have liked to do that study? So, anyway.
They call that the vortex.
Yes, it's a vortex. And actually, the wind does that. It blows. It's called the Coriolis effect in the wind and the atmosphere. And that's one of the ways that you can prove that it's a round earth, because the Coriolis effect on clouds and weather and how the wind blows is very unique, and it only occurs in a sphere. I want to talk a couple of articles and then finish with the article on stress. But there was a big study on chemotherapy, and the study talks about that chemotherapy is not necessary for about 70% of breast cancer victims. And this comes from Health Impact News, and it was the results of a 10,000 person plus breast cancer patient. And it was a prospective follow-up study demonstrated that many of the women can get by without chemotherapy, without lowering their survival rate. And what happened, the study was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and it was also announced at the American Society of Clinical Oncology in Chicago, and they hold their big convention, and it was in June, just this past June. And the results of a groundbreaking study, they can now, women can now safely avoid chemotherapy in about 70% of the patients who are diagnosed with common forms of breast cancer. And what happened is that this the cancer industry uses an analysis of 21 genes. And the 21 gene assay, which are constituents of the analysis, and they took the tumors and they biopsied the tumors to determine the likelihood of whether the cancer will metastasize or reoccurrence after treatment. And the assay, it analyzes the 21 genes after they've been biopsied for a tumor scoring. And the ranges would go from 0 to 100. Well, it was found and it was observed that tumor gene analysis scores up to 10 or even 15, that chemotherapy would not be needed for those tumors. Scores between 15 and 25, depending upon, and scores over 25, then chemotherapy, they said, would be necessary. Now, I, of course, think chemotherapy is not necessary on any case. There's truly natural things that you can do. But this new study in traditional oncology looks at these gene scores, 21 gene scores, and if you're around 15 or below, then more than likely you do not need the chemotherapy. And they studied women 18 to 75 year old who were diagnosed with breast cancer and hormone receptor positive breast cancer. And they all had biopsies, and the study was done on 10,270 women. That's a very big study. And so they were followed up after 5 years and 10 years. And the assay determined that the numbers, there was around 9,719 out of the 10,270 women that were eligible. And they found that those that had 15 or below still did well after 10 years without the chemotherapy. So until now, of course, chemotherapy was the standard. Now, I believe there's all kinds of things that people can do instead of chemotherapy, and that's diet, nutrition, and take the right nutrients. And there's... one of the things that we talk about is don't step on the landmines. That means, you know, don't use things like fluoride and chlorine, and don't eat all the garbage foods, and don't eat high omega-6 oils because they're inflammatory. So do an anti-inflammatory diet. Do more high alkaline-rich foods, fruits and vegetables. Now, traditional medicine doesn't even recognize the impact of alkaline or acid food. So anyway, let's see, one more article. Worrying about your weight. I think I just mentioned it last week. Worrying about your weight, the stress itself, makes you actually gain more weight. Anyway, stress itself was the big kicker. And I want to actually... finish, see if we got there. Five ways to really limit stress's impact on your health. And people don't realize that stress is a killer because it affects your digestion. It affects your ability to think. It affects the flow of blood throughout your body. And when you're under stress, all the cells of your body go into a self-preservation mode. It's just like in a war when you hear the siren goes off that the bombs might be dropping. Everybody runs to the bomb shelters, or they go find some place where there's protection. Then you wait for the all-clear siren to go off, and then everybody goes about their business again. Well, in the body, it's very similar. And stress causes your body to go into protection mode. And what you want, and that's where the parasympathetic, sympathetic nervous system kicks in, what you want is the body to hear the all-clear signal. And that all-clear signal will make the big difference. So there's five ways that you can limit stress's impact on your health. And people know how much stress they're under, and they can know how they're feeling. But there's a command center in the brain, and it's called the amygdala. And under times of stress, the amygdala can wreak havoc because it releases these peptides and cytokines and changes the hormones. That's like the command center that signals when the body is rest and when the body has to protect itself. So a lot of stress. So what they found is that there's five things that can really help control stress. One is controlled breathing and practicing the exhale or practicing mindfulness, because you can combat stress. The first thing that stress affects is your breathing. It makes you hold your breath. It changes the rhythm of your breathing. So controlled breathing and mindfulness, where you're thinking about your breathing, the moment you think about your breathing, you are breathing differently. You're usually breathing, at that moment, you're going to breathe longer exhale, longer, smoother breathing, where when you're not thinking about your breathing and you're under stress, it's going to be very fast, short, almost where you're going to do hyperventilation. So breathing is number one. Number two, one of the best things that you can possibly do for stress is laughter. You'd be amazed. Laughter is one of the things that de-stresses the body faster than anything else. So, I tell people that are under severe stress, find a movie that just makes you belly laugh. And, laugh as much as you can and feel good. Little children, they've measured, especially under 5 years old, laugh about 300 times a day. And the average adult only laughs about 6 to 10 times a day. So that's really different. The laughter itself produces peptides in the brain that changes your chemistry. Number three is give your permission to yourself to walk away from the stress. And sometimes removing yourself from the source of the anxiety is really the answer. And, that's sometimes easy. If you don't like driving and you get stressed all the time, then have someone else drive. Drive in more comfortable areas. Some people can't drive on the freeway. Okay, so there's different things. Work. Take a moment to work. And number four, that's the next one. It says take time out to rest. And people don't realize sometimes, and this is important, listen to what I'm just going to say on this. Sometimes the most important part of the day is the rest you take between two breaths. And think of that, just the rest that you take between two breaths, because that mindfulness all of a sudden changes how you're breathing. And when you're overstressed and over-medicated, because that's what society is, it's hard to understanding about rest. Now, rest is not necessarily sleep. You can lie down for a 20-minute restful nap, and merely by closing your eyes, sitting in a lounge chair, a chair, and just feeling your body relax, and that's on the exhale, and you'll feel your body relax, and it'll usually be layer after layer. You relax one layer, and then as you exhale again, you relax another layer. So that space between the exhale and the next breath, that's when the deepest relaxation can occur. And number five, I think, is one of the best things that you can do, and that's to find things that you're thankful for or that you have gratitude for. Internal contemplation, internal taking an assessment, taking stock of the things in your life that makes you feel gratitude, especially gratitude to other people's success. In counseling, I get a lot of people that just say, life is so hard. And I go, yeah, compared to what? Life may be difficult, but compared to what's the alternative? And the other thing is I take, you always hear people say, just be yourself. And there's a reason for that. And that's because most other people are already taken. So be yourself because everybody else is taken. So brain studies and psychology studies that when you express gratitude, it actually stimulates the dopamine centers in your brain and changes the hormones. So learning to feel gratitude for someone else's success, that's really the basis of what true enlightenment becomes. And that really is important. Then there's another study that came out. And this is, I might be able to get the last ones, but let me see if I can get this one out of the way. And There it is. The last article we'll probably talk about today is, again, you've heard me talk about it numerous times over the years. I've talked about fluoride. And here is a study, and this comes from the Health Impact Natural Health 365. This article shows that fluoride causes 12 unwanted health side effects. And if you doubt that the fact that fluoride is toxic, consider this. 20 years ago, the FDA ordered toothpaste manufacturers to add a poison warning to all toothpaste containing fluoride. And the warning, which advises the public to seek professional medical help if you swallow it, meaning if you ate the toothpaste, you could get fluoride poisoning. You know, oftentimes that toothpaste tastes so good, and little kids, if they got into it, would eat it. So fluoride continues to be added to municipal waters throughout the United States in 70% of the United States. Anyway, they found that long-term exposure to fluoride has experts worried, because it's a growing group of conventionally trained healthcare providers are finding out that fluoride is not healthy. And one of the things, the main things that fluoride does is it displaces iodine off the fluoride, off the thyroid hormones. So your thyroid no longer works well, but because the brain looks at these halogen group of metals that fluoride and iodine are part of, and the brain thinks they're the same, your brain will register that your thyroid is fine even though it's not fine. So you have to be careful. But fluoride has been linked to cognitive problems and lowered IQ scores in children. And that's, again, I think, because fluoride displaces iodine, and iodine does increase the IQ of your children. And a lot of these studies, this study that I'm quoting from, came from the Harvard Medical School study. And we're talking Harvard. We're not talking just anywhere. We're talking Harvard. And the team of researchers found that elevated fluoride in the levels that the children had decreased IQs. And again, I think that if they test what's really going on, it's not just the high levels of fluoride, it's the low levels of iodine. And fluorine is really affects the thyroid function, and here they talk about it affecting,
90 seconds,
and talking about the fluoride impact on the brain. And they found that it really affects T4, T3, T2, and as little as 2 milligrams per day of fluoride can really affect the thyroid. It causes diabetics to increase exposure. Fluoride doesn't help diabetics at all. Heart disease is increased with fluoride. It can also, fluoride weakens your bone.
60 seconds.
And fluoride does weaken your bones. And then also fluorosis, where the bones get discolored, especially your teeth. Fluoride damages the DNA and contributes to cancer. High fluorine causes crippling skeletal fluorosis. Fluoride causes gastrointestinal problems. Fluoride causes endocrine disruption, increases your risk of cancer. So we're getting close. I think we're only about 30 seconds left before we're done with hour two. So the last thing fluoride does is it masquerades as arthritis, but it's really fluorosis. And the last thing is it can contribute to infertility. So fluoride, another issue that it can cause.
10 seconds.
Anyway, there's our 10-second notice. So we'll be back next week with another show. And I want to thank everyone for joining us. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio. And we're back next week for another show.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915 915- 833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.